On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Thus we begin this Titanic Tuesday, the 11th day of March 2014. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I encourage you, I invite you to wander on by The Horn website, enjoy the selection of news stories chosen for consideration on any given day. They're there. Try to get that done every day, as well as some of the other Horn volunteers. You'll also find there our spiffy new media player, which works great if you're just pottering around the house. But if you're out and about, you've got your smart device with you, tablet, what have you, we recommend the apps from TuneIn and Stitcher Internet Radio. With a gentle reminder that if it should occur that on one of those apps you see an ad for somebody who builds airplanes that drops bombs on brown people or ExxonMobil or any of the other hydrocarbon industries that are routinely and regularly trying to roast the human race off the planet, that you remember that that is not there by our choosing and we do not receive any financial compensation for those running. Okay? No, the only thing that supports the Horn is you. And that's why we have a PayPal button there at the website. We also have a traditional mailing address that you can use. Just remember, checks and money orders should not be made payable to Bob Kincaid, but should in fact be made to Head On Communications. And understanding, of course, that we don't sell anything here. We've never sold a podcast. We have never sold access to the stream, nor I hope will we ever. Everything that comes in here is by way of gift contribution toward an idea of maintaining independent media in an increasingly corporatized world. It's not the most successful model out there, and it isn't a business model at all. But it is a model whereby people who cannot contribute to keep things going can continue to have access to it, as can anyone. The only access we don't grant here is access to right-wingers to call in on the telephone, because there are, remember, 1,000 hours of right-wingery for every 1 hour of progressive and or liberal programming out there. Okay? So there you have it. We try to raise $150 per evening. We got $50 in responses yesterday to Dr. Bill's Lucky Monday challenge, and hopefully we will see another $50 toward that this evening, which would take us one-third of the way toward meeting this evening's $150 fundraising goal. You know, I'm not. It's not out that we just. That's basic math. What it takes to keep all of this going. Lights on, that kind of thing. And frankly, you know, we've got bills breathing down our neck every blessed day. And when we don't make the goal, well, we operate on a month-to-month and sometimes week-to-week basis. And when we don't make the fundraising goal, that makes it less likely that we're going to be here someday. What Kate has from time to time mentioned as being that night you turn on the horn and the mic ain't hot. So if you care to use the PayPal button, it is much appreciated, as is using the traditional mail address. If you mail it in, just shoot me a note, please, and say, hey, just tell Boss Man Wayne he doesn't have to wear the spider-proof gloves when he goes to the mailbox next time. Yeah, I know, Marty. Bob, because you won't have any conservatossers, you're not fair and balanced. Was that enough, Snark? Yeah, more than enough, Marty. But we all know that being dead giving time to people who are dead wrong about things, it does not create balance against things which are unassailably correct. Yeah. This is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, so named for the Titanic intellect that inhabits the otherwise hollow noggins of the right wing. It gets its name, you may recall, from that day that the 962nd tier right-wing blather state, not too far from here in Beckley, West Virginia, told one of his mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking followers that there are fossilized shellfish in the rock strata of West by God, Virginia, because of the movement of the Titanic plates. And thus, Titanic Tuesday rolls around every Tuesday here on the Horn. And Lord God, we have examples. Oh, we have examples. Let's see. Where to start? How's about, I can remember years and years and years ago when our dear friend Juanita would call in. She was the Horn's, was and is the Horn's official view correspondent, but there's not a lot of fun in being a view correspondent anymore. Now that the resident idiot there has moved on over to Fox, I'm talking about, of course, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is allowed to, I guess, just get in front of the camera and say whatever it is that comes, that makes its way through the thin gray settlings that slosh around her great big amygdala and otherwise passes for brains. This is precious. I mean, this is just charming. You're going to love it. I mean, Titanic intellect in almost its form. Yeah. She, of course, is mad at that Kenyan Muslim with the deep-seated hatred of white people.
How smart was this? President Obama sitting down with comedian Zach Galifianakis for an online interview. It was supposed to be a chance for the president to promote Obamacare to a younger audience.
Oh, for pity's sakes, hold on. You know what? It works a lot better when you throw the third switch, Bob.
Here we go. Okay, let's get this out of the way. What did you come here to plug?
Have you heard of the Affordable Care Act?
That's the thing that doesn't work. Why would you get the guy that created the Zune to make your website?
Healthcare.gov works great now, and millions of Americans have already gotten health insurance plans, and what we want is for people to know that you can get affordable health care.
Is this what they mean by drones?
Who recommended he do this?
I thought it was just...
Okay. So what this was an appearance that President Not Sure made with Zach Galifianakis on his video program Between Two Ferns. And obviously, it is satirical in nature, but things, subtleties like satire, and by subtlety, I mean anything more subtle than, say, Benny Hill, are completely lost on your average wingnut over at Fox News Radio TV Rwanda. Because they think, you know, I mean, they think that Zach Galifianakis really does hate Obamacare, or as it's properly known, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, or as it's also known, the Heritage Foundation plan for health care in the United States. But never mind. So that's a ha ha. Man, can you see George W. Bush for sitting down like or something like this? No, me neither. Let's go back to the audio.
deadline is to sign up is now 3 weeks away. Should the President of the United States be doing this online with Will Ferrell's online site with Zach Galifianakis?
I
playing the straight man?
Wow, that was incredible. I laughed hard. I mean, that was, you know, it was pretty good.
It is so inappropriate.
It was inappropriate for who?
For the President of the United States to be sitting down with an interview that's a mock-up.
Some would argue it's inappropriate for the President of the United States to be advertising a law.
Some. Yeah, we're off and running on this here Titanic Tuesday. Some. Some meaning three idiots sitting on a couch in the Fox News Radio TV Rwanda studios. It is inappropriate for a president to be, advertising a law? And then the various amygdalas in this conversation got lost in a philosophical discussion. No, really. I mean, what passes for a philosophical discussion on Radio TV Rwanda? Let's go back just a hair.
Hindsight with Zach Galifianakis?
I
playing the straight man?
Wow, that was incredible. I laughed hard. I mean, that was... You know, it was pretty good.
It is so inappropriate.
It was inappropriate for who?
For the President of the United States to be sitting down with an interview that's a mock-up.
Some would argue it's inappropriate for the President of the United States to be advertising a law, an insurance plan.
Well, the comedian was speaking truth to power, wasn't he?
The whole thing was a big mock-up. I think it's pretty tragic. Whoever recommended that he do that show should be fired.
Probably.
It's pretty tragic. Seemed pretty real. Wouldn't you love to see Elizabeth Hasselbeck on Saturday night when she goes down to the National Guard Armory to watch the wrestling? Seemed pretty real. Oh, mercy. So, I found the thing to actually be pretty funny. And no, the person who signed him up for this doesn't need to be fired, although, come on, anybody who thinks that they're, reckon Eric Cantor will call hearings, or maybe Daryl Issa will call a hearing in the House of Representing. And not allow Elijah Cummings to ask any... Oh, my God. Listen, if they retake the Senate in later this year, you can bet that this will be part of the bill of impeachment. Sure. Why not?
Sorry, I had to cancel a few times. My mouse pad broke last week, and I had to get my great aunt some diabetes shoes, and...
You know what, Zach? It's no problem. I have to say, when I heard that, like, people actually watch this show, I was actually pretty surprised.
Hi. Welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. I'm your host, Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Barack Obama. President Barack Obama.
Good to be with you, Zach.
First question. In 2013, you pardoned the turkey. What do you have planned for 2014?
We'll probably pardon another turkey. We do that every Thanksgiving. Was that depressing to you, seeing one turkey kind of taken out of circulation, a turkey you couldn't eat?
So how does this work? Do you send Ambassador Rodman to North Korea on your behalf? I read somewhere that you'd be sending Hulk Hogan to Syria, or is that more of a job for Tonya Harding?
Zach, he's not our ambassador.
What should we do about North IKEA?
Why don't we move on?
I have to know.
I'm sorry, this is pretty damn funny, even on the third viewing. You know why it's funny? Because Zach Galifianakis is doing every bit as good a job as David Gregory or Bob Schieffer or... Koresh, rest his soul, What would Bart Kopp say? What did he? How did he refer to George? Judas, George Snuffleupagus. This is every bit. This. With the exception of the crappy stage setting, you know, the two ferns, Zach Galifianakis could have Charlie Rose's job tomorrow. Now, let's check out a little bit more.
What is it like to be the last black president?
Seriously? What's it like for this to be the last time you ever talk to a president?
It must kind of stink, though, that you can't run, you know, three times.
No, actually, I think it's a good idea. You know, if I ran a third time, it'd be sort of like doing a third Hangover movie. Didn't really work out very well, did it? Now, I have to say that I've seen this show before, and some of the episodes have probably been a little bit better than this. You know, for example, the one with Bradley Cooper, that was a great show.
Bradley Cooper, yeah, everybody loves
him. He kind of carried that movie, didn't he?
Which film are you speaking of?
Those Hangover movies. Basically, he carried them.
Yeah, everybody loves Bradley. Good for him.
Good-looking guy.
Being like that in Hollywood, that's easy. Tall, handsome, that's easy. Be short, fat, and smell like Doritos and try to make it in Hollywood. Is it going to be hard in 2 years when you're no longer president and people will stop letting you win at basketball?
How does it feel having a 3-inch vertical?
It's a 3-inch horizontal. So... Where are you planning on building a presidential library, in Hawaii or your home country of Kenya? Because both places seem like they would be...
Zach, that's a ridiculous question.
Well, you know, I mean, not to bring up the birth certificate thing, but you really never did really produce your real...
Where's your birth certificate? Why don't you show it to us right now?
I don't want to show anybody my birth certificate because it's embarrassing.
What's embarrassing about it?
My weight on it, it says that I was born 7 pounds, 800 ounces. You know what I would do if I were president, Mr. President? I would make same-sex divorce illegal, then see how bad they want it.
I think that's why you're not president, and that's a good thing.
You said if you had a son, you would not let him play football. What makes you think that he would want to play football? What if he was a nerd like you?
Do you think a woman like Michelle would marry a nerd? Why don't you ask her whether she thinks I'm a nerd?
Could I?
No, I'm not going to let her near you.
So do you go to any websites that are .coms or .nets, or do you mainly just stick with .govs?
No, actually, we go to .govs. Have you heard of healthcare.gov?
Here we go.
The rest of it you've got. That's the .gov part. That's where the president shouldn't be advertising a law for a healthcare plan. Oh, that's funny. Maybe one of those, you know, from time to time, I think back to the evening when we came up with the set list for the new album from Meet the Featles. Maybe this evening we can work on a list of for-profit media. Courtesans who could be easily replaced by Zach Galifianakis. We've cheated already because David Gregory, Bob Schieffer, Judas Snuffleupagus, any one of those. By the way, I saw a reference that Mika Brzezinski over there to the Morning Joe, you know, on that liberal network, because, you know, a liberal network would certainly have Joe Kursoudis, Scarborough on it. I noticed that she referred to Godzilla from Wasilla as a million-dollar moron. You never know how this program is going to get around. Mika, it's Moran, M-O-R-A-N, Moran. Use your little browser there on your laptop there on the set and look up Get a Brain Morans. You'll see the photo of the guy in the St. Louis Cardinals T-shirt with the bandana on his head who went to a counter-protest of an anti-Bush war protest and had two signs, one of which said, Get a Brain Morans, and another that said, Go USA! But thanks for listening, Mika. I mean, you know, maybe. Who knows? So we've taken Karl Rove's posse member, Bob Schieffer, and Judas Snuffleupagus out of the running, and I guess I just kind of took Scarborough out of the running. I don't want to do all this by myself. Other members of the for-profit media who could be more profitably replaced by Zach Galifianakis. No fair saying all of them. Because it's not all of them anyway. I mean, look, Amy Goodman's good at what she does. She could not be replaced by Zach Galifianakis. Why am I sitting here doing all the work? Suggestions can come in via Twitter at Bob Kincaid, Facebook, Bob Kincaid, or email, bobkincaid@gmail.com. Bob Kincaid Horn, I get contacts via Skype chat all the time. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. So any way you want to go about it is fine by me. Does, yeah, okay. Well, no, not everybody can have the Drive-By Truckers as their patron saint band. Well, actually, I guess everybody can if they want to. Mr. Gibson in the chat room. Mr. Gibson, but Bob, Amy Goodman doesn't play Drive-By Truckers. Bless her heart. So, that's just a little bit of fun to perhaps be having this evening. Oh, see? All right. By the way, Ron and Raleigh with a question regarding the Fox Radio TV Rwanda clip earlier. A mock-up, asks Ron. What the hell are these bobbleheads talking about? P.S., and I'm guessing you've barely beaten Sandra to the punch on this one. P.S., he might try pardoning some goddamn people. Never mind the turkeys. Marty suggesting Zach Galifianakis could replace Tweety Matthews? Probably. Yeah. And I don't want to suggest a direction or anything, but how about over on Radio TV Rwanda? But I don't want it. Yeah. It's up to you. Entirely up to you. Yeah, see, Mr. Gibson's on it. How about pardoning Don Siegelman from Alabamistan, one of Karl Rove's victims? I could see that, absolutely. Thank you, Steve. Steve points out, this is effing hilarious. And you can find it, by the way, over at funnyordie.com, Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, President Barack Obama. Now, that was good comedy. I wish the rest of Titanic Tuesday was as funny. Okay, I can't resist this. Any time you get to say Zach Galifianakis, you get to play this song.
It's been a really, really messed up week. 7 days of torture, 7 days of bitter, and my girlfriend went and cheated on me. She's a California dime, but it's time for me to quit her. La, 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 whatever. La, 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 it doesn't matter. La, 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 oh well. La, 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 we're going at it tonight, tonight. There's a party on the rooftop, top of the world. Tonight, tonight. And we're dancing on the edge of the Hollywood sign. I don't know if I'll make it, but watch how good I'll fake it. It's alright, alright. I woke up with a strange tattoo. Not sure how I got it, not a dollar in my pocket, and it kinda looks just like you. Mixed with Zach Galifianakis. La la la, whatever. La la la, it doesn't matter. La la la, oh well. La la la, we're going at it tonight, tonight. There's a party on the rooftop, top of the world. Tonight, tonight. And we're dancing on the edge of a Hollywood sign. I don't know if I'll make. But watch how good I'll fake it. It's alright, alright. Tonight, tonight. You got me singing like, whoa, come on, oh. It doesn't matter, oh. Everybody now, oh. Just don't stop, let's keep the beat pumping. Keep the beat up, let's drop the beat down. It's my party, dance if I want to. We can get crazy, let it all out. Just don't stop, let's keep the beat pumping. Keep the beat up, let's drop the beat down. It's my party, dance if I want to. We can get crazy, let it all out. It's you and me, we're running this town. And it's me and you, and we're shaking the ground. And ain't nobody gonna tell us to go, cause this is our show. Everybody, watch how good I'll fake it. It's alright, alright. Tonight, tonight. It's alright, alright. Tonight, tonight. Yeah, it's alright, alright. Tonight, tonight. Just sing it like, oh, come on.
It's one of those tunes that was hot a couple of years ago. And I mean, it was a couple of years ago, right? Hot Shelly Ray and Tonight, Tonight. It's catchy. Yeah. And, well, I heard the kid, well, it seemed like every time we got in the car, I heard that song. From the email box. Playing that song, Bob. Rules or merely guidelines, asks Irish Dave. Rules, damn it. Rules. Marty says, fine then. The life support system for a haircut. Well, absolutely. Zach Galifianakis could easily replace the life support system for a haircut. Marty notes, meanwhile, I'm still waiting for the pardon for one Mumia Abu-Jamal. You got a long wait, Marty, because this administration couldn't even get a Department of Justice Civil Rights Division head nominee through the Senate because people like Joe Manchin didn't want anybody who'd ever filed a brief on behalf of Mumia Abu-Jamal being anywhere near government. Ah, Jesus, Jim, lighten up. It's a comedy piece. Jim noting, Zach the SOB was disrespectful and a genuine asshole would like to see him interview Putin with subsequent ramifications. Well, that's because Putin's a humorless prick. It's a comedy piece. It's funny. Oh, Oh, hey, there's one. There's one. Steve noting Zach Galifianakis could easily replace that British tool on Fox. Stuart Varney. I often wonder if when they were naming the characters on The Family Guy, Stewie got named for Stuart Varney. And just in case you were wondering what Steve meant by that tool, let's check out, because I already had him in the stack for this here prayer meeting. No, that's tomorrow. Titanic Tuesday. You remember when Stuart Varney got his knickers in a twist over, what was it, Pope Francis? You know, you may recall Pope Frank said that maybe being a totally greed-oriented asshat wasn't the surest fire way to the pearly gates. Yeah. And Stuart politely told Pope Frank to bugger off because I looked to him for spiritual advice, not economic advice or some such drivel as that. Do let's check in with that tool on Fox.
And food stamps, but tell that to some states now trying to game the system to undo the cuts and spend even more money. Get this scam. Where is it going on, and can anything be done to stop it? Stuart Varney, here with the details. First off, Stuart, how are they getting past this law?
Okay, there is a law. It's on the books. It's part of the Farm Bill, part of the food stamp program. The law says if you give $1 for home heating assistance, the person who gets that $1 is entitled to food stamps. So for $1, so what the states have done, they've given that extra dollar in home heating oil to various people, and that signs them up for food stamps. Look at New York. New York gave out an extra $6 million for home heating oil, heating support, and brought in an extra $500 million for food stamps. They've completely gone around the cuts which Congress imposed just weeks ago.
So what you're saying
is... it's legal.
So, in other words, if I get food stamps one way, okay, I'm eligible for them, and they might have a certain threshold, I can go back and double dip by applying for a home heating.
No,
you can double dip. You can go, somebody, a fresh person, fresh out of the box who's not got food stamps, go to the government and say, give me home heating oil support. You get a dollar for that, or $10, or $20, whatever it is. That, therefore, makes you eligible.
Am I the only one, but a dollar for home heating oil support? Yeah, thanks for the sour persimmons, cousin. If all you get is a dollar, then you get to eat food.
For food stamps. The full Monty of food stamps.
Oh, the full Monty of food stamps. Yes, the full Monty. Doesn't the full Monty refer to some sort of full frontal nudity? Nope. Don't ever, ever, ever want to be witness to anything that goes on inside the thin, sloshy gray settlings surrounding the amygdala inside the skull of Stuart Varney that passes for brains. He thinks about people getting food stamps, and that makes him think about male strippers. Who?
That's why New York spends an extra $6 million on home heating, gets $500 million extra for food stamps. This completely negates, almost entirely negates, the cuts that Congress imposed. It shows you, once you've got a program, you can never get rid of it, and it's very difficult to cut. And what's really going on here is the government is buying votes. They're keeping churning out the food stamps in return.
Because everybody knows that the largest single voting bloc in the United States is the poor's. I mean, you can't keep them away from the polls. That's why they're out there committing so many voting frauds that can't be discovered. Oops. Mercy. Poor Stuart out there being bedraggled and oppressed by all those people eating his food.
For votes. That's what's happening.
And this is a tough situation politically for Republicans because they know it's right. They know it's affordable. They know that food stamps are a never-ending cycle. But if you want to be the party...
Yeah, that whole eating food among humans, that is, Well, no, among living things, that is, that whole eating food, and with understandings, of course, that there are different things that pass for food along the way. I mean, you and I might not see a big steaming pile of poo as food, but, you know, for your average house fly or bottle fly or tsetse fly or whatever, that's a smorgasbord. But everything alive eats food. It's a never-ending cycle, just like this nitwit on Radio TV Rwanda says.
That goes up to poor and says, take that back.
You are demagogued to death. You are told that you're taking food out of the mouths of children. You're...
Because you are. That's not... Wait. Demagogued to death?
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Yeah, me neither, Inigo. You're not being demagogued to death, whatever that may mean. And if it was to happen to Stuart Varney, I would not particularly complain, you understand. If he was third railed or runaway bust or, you know, I ain't showing up at the funeral. But demagogued to death?
The party that goes up to poor and says, take that back.
You are demagogued to death. You are told that you're taking food out of the mouths of children. You're making people starve. You are bad because you're cutting. You can't win.
It's just so interesting. How will we... More money.
You can't win. Because, you know, down at the club where we all wear our little rep ties... That's how we gauge winning versus losing. By how many people we got to stop eating food. And if you can't make people not eat food, you can't win. Jesus. Yep, okay. No argument whatsoever. No argument from... No. I think Steve's right. Zach Galifianakis could very easily replace Stuart Varney and make considerably more sense. Darlene with a question. Is this asshole even an American? A U.S. citizen?
Well, we don't really know.
Irish Dave pointing out, speaking of British tools... Piers Moran could be replaced. Hey, you know what? That may have real possibility because, after all, CNN's looking for a replacement. If it didn't mean that he'd have to quit running around the globe and making very interesting television, I'd say that maybe Anthony Bourdain might be a nice replacement to Piers Moran. But I got to give Piers a little bit of leeway for at least. Taking down Alex Jones. By the way, just so you'll know, Ron and Raleigh pointing out, hey, Bob, I know Zach's daddy. He was a North Carolina congressman. Democrat or Republican? I can't imagine. Ron hobnobbing with GOP members of Congress, so I'll just make a certain assumption. Yeah, we got plenty to work with here. And as far as Titanic Tuesday material, it doesn't quit. I really haven't said much about Chris Christie and the ongoing bridge business, because at the same time that the rest of the world was absolutely transfixed by that nasty little bit of political chicanery, there were 300,000 people being poisoned here in West Virginia. You know, oopsie. But this did catch my attention. You want to talk about sleazy? I got sleazy. A New York Times story reported today, no less, that Chris Christie used hunks of metal from the smoldering heap that was the World Trade Center as gifts to the hacks and flacks and political cronies who flocked around him. No, really. If you were out there busting a hump to make sure that Chris Christie could talk mean about teachers some more, or about them or badmouth them union thugs, well, by God, Chris Christie might just very well have given you a hunk of metal from the World Trade Center. Delightful. Chris Classy Christie. Another nomination coming in from Jeremy in Vermont. Steve Pelley, CBS, and his softball questions to all could go. Oh, and so could Laura Logan. Wait, she's already taken a leave of absence from CBS. Apparently, we could replace most of the for-profit TV news industry with Zach Galifianakis, and nobody would much be missed. What's it like? Just to go back to it, what would you feel if you had a hunk of the formerly a twisted, deformed hunk of the former World Trade Center sitting on your desk? Hey, looky here! Probably the wrong voice. I don't do Jersey that well, though. Anyway. You come into work every morning, you sit down, you arrange your papers. You know, good morning, Mr. Mellish. Good morning, Enid. Did the new paper clips arrive? Yes, they're over there. And you sit down and you start arranging your papers and clacking away on your laptop and doing businessy things. And you look over and you see that otherwise nondescript hunk of ruined metal and you think, by God, I'm serving the master. I've got me a little piece of the horror that befell thousands. And I got it right here, and it tells me that I'm doing right by Chris Christie. By God, put that on my tombstone. Ick. From Robert in Australia, up over there. Bob, you probably already know this. The Full Monty was an excellent British film about a group of unemployed men in England's north who became strippers in order to raise money for their families. And going the Full Monty is, as you said, going completely naked, which they did at the end of the film, final scene. Food stamps. Is the USA the country in the world that does this? Here in Australia, you either get a government pension or unemployment benefits, all in dollars. Spend it as you will. No, we can't do that, Robert, because then the welfare queens will go out and buy televisions and Cadillacs and dope. Because the wingnuts know that if they were in the same or similar circumstances, that's what they'd do. But to be a little clearer, food stamps don't actually exist anymore. It's just a little credit card device. And we use scads of the money that goes into the food stamp budget to pay the giant Wall Street banks, people like, Bank of America, Citibank, people like that, to administer the little credit card transfers. that's why food stamp benefits, in part, are as low as they are, because, well, you know, the Wall Street banks just want to, as the saying goes, wet their beaks. So, yeah, we have there's temporary assistance to needy families, which is a cash benefit, and it also comes on a card administered by the giant Wall Street banks. And then there's SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits, which also come on a little plastic card, but you can't get cash with those. You can only buy non-hot food and stuff that theoretically you at least have to put in the microwave. So hopefully it makes more sense. Australia, you either get a government pension or unemployment benefits, all in dollars, and spend it as you will. But see, and crab legs. Right, thank you, Steve. See, the right wing in this country are so worried about the poors that they know that the poors can't be trusted to make good choices. So they have to make sure that they make sure that the poors spend the money correctly. That's why, as I noted, that a wingnut member of the House of Representatives recently introduced a bill to ban SNAP benefits from being used to purchase dope in Washington and Colorado, even though you can't use SNAP benefits to purchase dope anywhere. See how it works? That's why the intellect is so very, very, and I do mean very, titanic. Looking at the stack I've got, I get the idea that this could be a 6-hour Titanic Tuesday. I mean, this is a hell of a stack. Obviously, some more serious than others. Did I mention? No. We'll save that. Yeah. No, among other things, we're going to have to make a run down to, and I know this can be problematic, we're going to have to make a run down to Alabamistan. Where today, Alabamians were informed by the teabaggers about just what a profound risk the Common Core, which is rapidly replacing Agenda 21, presents to good, upstanding, God-fearing Merkins. Yeah, you'll love this. This is Dr. Terry Batten of the Barber County Tea Party, who is terribly worried about...
My Common Core is bad for Alabama. Alabama is a strong 10th Amendment state. We don't want more government control. We want less. Alabama places priority on family and Christian values. We don't want our children to be taught to be anti-Christian, anti-capitalist, and anti-American. We don't want our children to lose their innocence.
Wait. I want to just let this guy roll through, but sometimes I have to stop. I want to back up here for a second and make, because, you know, there's a little bit of reverb in the room and everything, and sometimes the audio doesn't come through as clearly as you'd like. But I need to check something out.
For government control, we want less. Alabama places priority on family and Christian values. We don't want our children to be taught to be anti-Christian, anti-Catholic, and anti...
That's what I thought. Catholics, lapsed, and otherwise out there, did you know you weren't Christians? That's what this bagger says. We don't want our children to be taught to be anti-Christian, anti-Catholic. I thought, well, I mean, being how they are the Roman Catholic Church, and Catholic means universal, I really, granted, the church got started in Greece before it ever came over to Rome, but as much or more than anybody out there, don't the Catholics have a claim that they are Christians? No, that wasn't capitalist. That was not capitalist. That was anti-Christian, anti-Catholic. If we have to go over it again, we by God will.
Control, we want less. Alabama places priority on family and Christian values. We don't want our children to be taught to be anti-Christian, anti-Catholic, and anti-American.
Anti-Christian, anti-Catholic, and anti-American. Yeah, that's not anti-capitalist. I'd actually feel better if it was, but after all, this is coming from a teabagger from Alabamistan. Yeah. Oh, dear God. He was invited to speak to the Alabama Senate Education Committee on a regarding a resolution that would allow school systems to opt out of Common Core. Now, bear in mind that this teabagger does not have the common sense that God gave a stomped gosling. But, well, if you're a teabagger, you don't have to. Terry Batten, Barber County Tea Party leader. Let's check out the rest of what it is that the Common Core will do to our children.
We don't want our children to lose their innocence, beginning in preschool or kindergarten, told that homosexuality is okay and shouted and should be experienced with at an early age. And
yeah, because, see, that's what Common Core does. It tells our children from an early age that homosexuality is okay and should be experienced at an early age. No, really. It's all over Common Core. The Common Core math standards indicate that the way you teach a five-year-old mathematics is to say 1 + 1 equals homosexuality is okay and should be experienced at an early age. 4 divided by 2 equals homosexuality is okay and should be experienced at an early age. The Common Core science standards say that the sun rises in the east because the sun revolves around, the sun's homosexual, and it's okay, and should be experienced at an early age. Then there's the Common Core history standards that say that America was founded in its original form on July the 4th, 1776, when Thomas Jefferson produced a document called the Declaration of Homosexuality that said that homosexuality is okay and should be experienced at an early age. For some people, there is simply no hope. because, and tell me if I'm wrong, homosexuality is experienced at an early age. If, in fact, one is born that way, as the saying goes, it is experienced before one has any age at all. But that's not what this freak doctor, no, really, he's Dr. Terry Batten. Would you let this guy apply a Band-Aid? You'd wind up in a box. Well, let's hear him out.
To be taught to be anti-Christian, anti-Catholic, and anti-American. We don't want our children to lose their innocence, beginning in preschool or kindergarten, told that homosexuality is okay and shouted and should be experienced with at an early age, and that same-sex marriage are okay. Other states are teaching these social justice themes, and the federal government is pushing it. Alabama wants to choose what our children learn, when they learn it, and how they learn it. We don't want the same curriculum as other states that teach the propaganda and propagandize to change our culture, to try to change our family values. National standards will be written.
Does he mean the family values that that include the fact that Alabama has a much higher divorce rate than, say, states that that have legal marriage equality? Are those the family values? Or do I have to, or are those the biblical family values, and I have to go back to Genesis 19, verse 30 again, about how the daughters of Lot, who we have named Sarah and Michelle, decided to lie with Daddy. For there is no one to lie with us, as is the manner in all the earth. Some family values.
So that social justice themes will be interwoven throughout. If you don't believe it, get back to the books and read it. If you love God and you call yourself a Christian, you owe it yourself to look at these standards and read them. Don't listen to what somebody else said. If you get in there and find the 45th,
then sit down.
There's going to be a lot you can't agree with. Anyway, now these things will be written so the social justice themes will be interwoven throughout. What is social justice? Listen closely, folks. Social justice is contrary to traditional American notions of justice in the United States Constitution and based on individual rights.
I love hearing an Alabama teabagger talk about justice as announced in the Constitution. You know, where it was determined that certain people are only fractionally human beings. Of course, he probably does yearn for the good old days, right?
Social justice teaches children that America is an unjust and oppressive society that should be changed.
Is America an unjust society that should be changed? Apparently, this guy wants to go back to the day before George Wallace stood in the schoolhouse door at the University of Alabama. Because America was an unjust society that had to be changed. Or maybe he wants to go back to the day before those geniuses started lobbing cannon shot at Fort Sumter from the shores of Charleston Harbor. Because America was an unjust country that needed to be changed. If they were not so vociferous, and if they were not so inexorably filled with hate, you could almost manifest some pity for these titanic intellects. They're scared. They are as scared as the child in the darkness who is quite certain there is a monster under the bed. And no amount of reassurance will teach them otherwise, because they are completely enthralled to their fears. And as Brother Albert reminded us a few nights ago, fear is the mind killer. And this guy's mind has been killed. It has been taken out behind the barn and axe-handled into a soup. He has no mind left. And he is to be more pitied than despised, except for the fact that it is his goal to make everyone else live in his nightmare world. And that's fact. Do go on, Dr. Terry Batten.
Social justice materials typically include far less proposals such as acceptance of homosexuality, alternate lifestyles, radical feminism, abortion, illegal immigration, and the redistribution of wealth. When coupled with government mandates and oversight, do you smell a skunk or see a Trojan horse at the gate of our educational system?
I smell a skunky Trojan horse, Doc. Now, I mentioned that this guy was, I mean, he's not just out there screaming on the street corner, Dr. Batten. This was an actual Alabama Stan State Senate Education Committee hearing. By the way, the bill that would allow school systems to opt out of Common Core will be voted on in the Alabama Senate tomorrow. You know, prayer meeting Wednesday, of course. There were only four members of the Alabama Senate committee that were present at this harangue. So, under the guise of freedom, and bear in mind, the Common Core standards are not some sort of nefarious plot to get the kindergartners all gayed up. That's what the classroom segment on disco balls and never mind. But if this bill passes, do you think that there is a school system in Alabama? And by the way, Alabama still maintains a divided school system whereby instead of having one school system in the county, in a county, you have city school systems versus county school systems, and the county school system takes the short end of the stick. Is there any school system in Alabama, Stan, that can stand up to the outraged cries of the Bible-thumping, tongue-speaking, floor-rolling, strychnine-swigging fundies demanding that Common Core not have any place in their children's lives because social justice? Of course not. And this goob will be quoted from every county, from Lauderdale to Lee to Mobile and Baldwin to Jefferson to Madison to Walker to Marshall to Limestone, Pickens. As being a defender of American values, when in fact what he is a defender of Confederate values.
We can improve our educational system. Alabama has already proven it in the last number of years before the Common Core started trying to be sprinkled in amongst it. We can improve our education system without signing on to Common Core.
Well, we now know that Dr. Batten is a Baptist. because he talks about Common Core being sprinkled. That's part of the eternal ongoing conflict between the Baptists and the Methodists. The Methodists are sprinklers. I'll never forget many years ago walking in for prayer meeting Wednesday dinner down in the fellowship hall and hearing one deacon talking to another. They'd just come in out of from outside out there smoking with the sinners. And one said to the other, "Yeah, that's a right Methodist rain we got going on out there." The other deacon said, "What do you mean, brother?" He said, "Just a sprinkle." You see, them Methodists ain't really saved because they haven't been fully immersed in the baptismal waters that cleanse like the blood, in substitution of the blood of Christ Jesus. Nope. Note coming in from Steve. Bob, seriously, what is it about sex and sexuality, and particularly homosexuality, that irks these people so much? I mean, the paranoia is spooky. Oh, it's past spooky, Steve. It's terrifying. What is it? We don't have enough time remaining in this program, but what is it? What it is a reflection of the deep and abiding puritanical Calvinistic roots that place a premium on sexual repression, even heterosexual repression, so that all these people can think about is sex. They can't not think about sex. And if sex by itself, you know, heterosexual sex, is bad, which Calvinism and Puritanism and the essential faiths of these, what Joe Bagent referred to as Scots-Irish borderers, if sex alone is bad, then imagine the love that dare not speak its name. Mm-hmm. That's got to be really bad. And insofar as these fundies really love the bad sex, the really bad sex must be awesome. And so they wind up getting caught in public restrooms, in public parks, getting blowjobs from, you know, young men, or snorting meth off a gay hooker's butt, or cruising Kmart parking lots like the official from the Oklahoma Southern Baptist Convention did, got popped and said, "No, I wasn't trying to find me a rent boy. I was trying to witness to the rent boys in the name of Jesus." That's why. Because they can't stop thinking about sex. Steve following up, noting, "If I were anything like the LGBT people they describe, hell, I'd be scared of me." No. But the problem, but see, in the twisted Calvinist worldview of the right wing fundamentalist, you're terrifying because you can't not be terrifying. I know that sounds a little bit loopy, but I can explain this. You have to be terrifying because if you're not, what hope is there for them? Their lives are dead, lifeless, meaningless, and all they want is to enjoy one decent screw in their miserable, hung-up lives. They'd like to have sex and find out what it feels like to have sex and not feel dirty about it. They even feel bad about the sex they have that creates, you know, youngins, because after all, that means that they've just then passed on original sin. Anybody who's ever been in the delivery room and seen that messy but lovely moment of birth, well, see, I can't participate in religion because I saw all of my children born. And I did not look at them and say, "Sinner!" But these fundies, people like Dr. Batten, see a precious little infant in arms, and they see the filthy sin that was brought into the world by that woman. Now, what Steve said reminded me of something I saw, and I saved a screenshot of it the other day. You know what he said? If LGBT people were as bad as these people say, I'd be scared of me. I saw a poster the other day somewhere, Facebook maybe. Coming soon. Let's do this right. Coming soon, the gay agenda. They worked at their jobs. They shopped for groceries. They even went to the movies. A true horror of our times. They lived. The gay agenda. See them do their laundry. Hear them order takeout. Feel your spine tingle as they watch TV. Rated PG, please get over it. Ay, 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 ay. But see, gay people can't be out there just living their lives, because then the hung-up, repressed fundies have nothing at all left to live for. I mean, you can hear it in Dr. Batten's voice. Just listen to the excitement.
Abortion, illegal immigration, and the redistribution of wealth. When coupled with government mandates and oversights, do you smell a skunk or see a Trojan horse at the gate of our educational system? We can improve our educational system. Alabama has already proven it in the last number of years before...
No, really, Alabama.
...before the Common Core started trying to be sprinkled in amongst it. We can improve our education system without signing on to Common Core or exposing our educational curriculum to these social justice mandates. Contrary to what the public has been led to believe, the sovereignty of the parents, community, and states over the educational system as a whole will be surrendered with full implementation of the National Common Core Standards Curriculum. Look at our government today. Do you really trust this Congress with the future of your children?
Wait a damn minute. That Congress is the Congress he wants. The House of Representatives is just plum chock-a-block with teabaggers who are, you know, fundamentalist, mouth-breathing, strychnine-swigging, floor-rolling, tongue-speaking, head-anointing fundies. I mean, that's that God-ordained government he'd been waiting for. But suddenly he doesn't trust it. And by the way, just from the nature of the rhetoric, I get the idea that Dr. Batten is one of those people who's a doctor of religion or some such. You know, in certain sects, if you can scream loud enough, they'll give you a doctor in front of your name.
If you, our legislators, don't put a stop to the implementation of the Common Core curriculum, you will voluntarily be giving away Alabama's educational freedom under the 10th Amendment to bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., who care more about power and money than about children and education. Some of the main proponents of the curriculum in Alabama, Common Core, are paid lobbyists with a large monetary stake into the millions if they can deceive the public into signing on to Common Core. That alone should raise serious questions concerning the motives behind pushing the curriculum.
As opposed to the agenda of multimillionaires behind groups that are seeking to deceive the American people into opposing basic literacy and mathematical advancement at earlier years, and yada, 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 yada. We know which, I mean, really, Americans for Prosperity, please. Wasn't Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman praising God for giving the teabaggers Charles and David Koch because we need a few billionaires? Did I miss that? No, that was real.
We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Now, the curriculum and the producers thereof of Common Core are against the principle of faith, family, and freedom when you take in this social justice values aspect. Common Core Philosophical Board will dilute and erode the power and influence of biblical principles in the hearts and minds of our precious children. If you want this on your record when you come to the end of days, knowing the master teacher...
Jesus, there's an... I'll be damned. There's even an altar call in this. At a Senate committee hearing of the Senate Education Committee of the state of Alabamistan, this guy's given a damned altar call. Holy mackerel. Did you hear that?
The producers thereof of Common Core are against the principles of faith, family, and freedom when you take in this social justice values aspect. Common Core Philosophical Board will dilute and erode the power and influence of biblical principles in the hearts and minds of our precious children. If you want this on your record when you come to the end of days, knowing the master teacher said, as much as you've done unto the little ones, you've done it unto me. Therefore, I beseech you by the mercies of God.
Did he say that? Or did he say, inasmuch as you've done it unto these, my brothers, you've done it unto me? I think he's mixing up his Jesus's.
For the sake of our children, to do your part in giving our children the choice of an education based on the principles of faith, family, and freedom that made America great, rather than allow them to be indoctrinated with unproven Common Core curriculum filled with social justice mandate. The spiritual,
Pastor,
emotional...
here into the lesson.
Okay.
Thank y'all for your...
Oh, I love it. Even the Republican Center says, yeah, that's great. Here endeth the lesson. Thank you. And he was just winding up to his altar call with every head bowed and every eye closed. Yeah. And even one of his own had to call an end to it. Mercy sakes. Note coming in from our buddy the Angry Indian via Skype chat. Exactly, Angry says. I blame conservative thinking people. Well, I don't think you can say conservative and thinking in the same... I blame conservative people for the STI-STD-VD epidemic. Honest freaks have respect for their partners and take the necessary precautions. Read their literature, which points out how political neocons like Newt Gingrich are hypocrites for lying about moral uprightness while cheating on one's wife, demanding that another sign divorce papers while undergoing chemotherapy, and being accused of getting Monica L-style services in the congressional parking lot after normal office hours. Interviews with professional prostitutes say that their conservative Republican customers are the types who offer to pay more for extra, meaning unprotected contact and other odd desires they condemn others for. Even neo-Nazi hardliners in private admit to either seeking or paying for contact with the ethnic religious groups they preach against. Angry says, odd, the world we live in, isn't it? It is. It is indeed. And one more. Just one more. This one coming out of Kentucky Stan. And it's the story we should probably save for tomorrow night, but it somehow works in this context. Assistant Pastor Joseph Pickens of the Clay Mills Road Baptist Church 2014 National Young Fundamentalist Conference, in an effort to reach out to the young people, dressed up as Mr. T, complete to down to the mohawk, and complete to the blackface. Jeff Fugate is the main pastor there, and he said that Assistant Pastor Joseph Pickens was hurt by internet comments from people who didn't appreciate him wearing blackface in a church skit. WLEX has the story. this ought to be a dandy. Actually, I've already heard it. It is a dandy. Yeah. Well, if they're not giving away guns at the Baptist churches in Kentucky, they're doing blackface. All in the name of salvation.
Protect your head, protect your stomach, move your feet!
When this boxing skit hit YouTube yesterday, it showed Lexington Assistant Pastor Joseph Pickens dressed in blackface. Much of the feedback was not positive.
They said, what are you doing with blackface? And I really didn't know what they were talking about, to be honest.
The church pastor, Jeff Fugate, says he watched Pickens perform in blackface twice this week and didn't have a second thought until he started receiving emails about it.
And I'm not trying to be ignorant, but I guess I am.
The boxing skit at the church youth conference was supposed to teach teens an inspiring lesson and make them laugh, says Fugate. Many viewers didn't think it was funny. Commenters saying, quote, this is so cringy, it makes me embarrassed to be human. And, quote, this is why the rest of the country hates you, Kentucky. Pickens did not comment.
He is so hurt.
Fugate says the church accidentally sent the wrong message.
I'm not a racist, and I sure am sorry if I've offended you or anybody.
He says the church wants to show that it is welcoming to all races.
You'll certainly see a lot of black folk in our church.
He says the black members of the church have not had anything negative to say about the skit.
Well, as long as the black members of the church haven't had anything negative to say, and as long as the good minister doesn't know what blackface is, and as long as he's sorry if anybody's offended, you can find the story over at Raw Story. RawStory.com. Kentucky pastor feels hurt by people who didn't like his inspiring blackface skit. That's the name of the piece. Dr. John pointing out, nothing resonates with today's youth like a good Mr. T impression. Why, the kids immediately stop their jitterbugging and put down their licorice whips when it starts. Oh, maybe the Lindy Hop? Yeah, I mean, no, really, how many 16-year-olds are there? No. I mean, Dr. John says, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love tea. I'm sorry, Angry. He says, I just spilled my tea all over the keyboard. Tea, get it? All right. Oh, God. So this, you see how much work there is to be done? And you notice how it's the fault of the people who pointed out that it's inappropriate to do blackface in 2014. It's their fault for hurting Assistant Pastor Joseph Pickens' feelings. Boy. 23 minutes past the hour. And as the fellow in Alabama stand said, here endeth the lesson, although that's more of a line for tomorrow. We just happen to be up to our eyeballs in titanic right-wing wisdom this evening. Okay, you know not what you ask. But it's a cultural thing, and yeah, I get it. Kate says, splain altar call to the unwashed listeners. This guy hurts my ears. He's so real. He is real. I couldn't touch that in a million years with, you know, my little send-up every Wednesday evening. Altar call. And maybe to people who attend more sedate versions of Christianity, you don't know what an altar call is. An altar call is what happens at the end of the sermon. You know, there's some low-key, low-rent, minor-key organ music going on, and the pastor begins this impassioned plea for the unsaved to come up and get saved. Usually it's just as I am, but just as I am without one thing. Yeah, that is being played there, and the pastor says, what if you leave here today and you die unsaved in a car wreck? I couldn't have that on my conscience. Please, won't you come on down and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Just pray, and all you got to do is say, Jesus, I accept you. And then they schedule the baptism, and then they schedule the payment schedule. No, the tithing. It's tithing. Yeah. Altar call. That's an altar call. Yeah, I'm sorry, Irish Dave. Yeah, that's not blackface. It's blah face. Yes. Dr. John pointing out that Dr. Batten, this guy's a real charmer. Common Core, family, freedom, skunks and Trojan horses. I'm gonna precious children. Time for a glory call, Jeebus. Oh, dude looked like he was about maybe one rib away. Yeah. Oh, gee, Devin, I'm sorry. You nearly killed me when you said Barber County. I feel better now that you said Alabama. Yeah, there's one of those down there too, Devin. But don't be getting all smug and sure of yourself. I'm sure you can find somebody similar to Dr. Batten in that Barber County too. And yes, as a matter of fact, Irish Dave, you're right. In the Roman Church, when the castrato sing, that's the altered call. Irish Dave will be here all week. Don't try the veal. And yes, Marty, you heard it right. Social justice is now socialist justice. Because that's what they tell them over there on the Radio Rwanda. Exactly. So let's take a break, and we are halfway through the program. And rather badly in need of a few folks kicking in to stand with Sal. Sal's there every night. Thank you, Sal. Or most every night, helping us keep this thing going. And he needs some allies. We try to raise $150 every evening. And with the exception of Sal, nothing rolling in this evening. But I do want to thank Anthony and Linda for their subscription contributions this evening. You know, you can set up a subscription at headonradionetwork.com, set it and forget it, as it were. And of course, I think it was our good friend Tony in Las Vegas who pointed out that credit cards do work there too. So credit cards, traditional mail, PayPal. However you want to do it, it's there and it's available, and it's how we keep this going. So a little break and lines open, 304-658-3333. This is Conversation Radio, listener supported. No Buy Gold Now ads here. No ads of any kind. This is the horn. How could I not?
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I have squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, till the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station when I'm scared. Laying low, seeking out the poorer quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. By the night, la 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 la. Asking only workmen's wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no offers. just to come home from the wars on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. La 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 la.
Song. And when I, you know, when I saw the Kentucky story, I kind of felt like we had to do it. Simon and Garfunkel's The Boxer. But it's that lie, 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 lie chorus that got to me. Because, well, they're right wingers. It's what they do. Thanks very much to our good buddy Chug-a-Punch, who jumped in to help out Sal a little bit here a couple of minutes ago. Thank you very much. So between Anthony and Linda and Sal and Chug-a-Punch, we've got $115 to go to meet this evening's fundraising goal. It is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And like I said, the list seems not to be growing any shorter. Before moving on, a couple of trips to the mailbag, Dr. John noting, by way of contrast, altar call among the Unitarians, people are invited up to share their joys and sorrows after each a candle is lit. And the response is, walking with you is our prayer. The point, the community shares in both the good and bad that other members experience. Fun fact, this week the collection went entirely to the local reproductive health clinic, and no, it's not religious, but a place where women can get family planning services, cancer screenings, and referrals to abortion providers when necessary. Good. I'll say it. If we had a Unitarian fellowship around here, I would probably find my way to hanging out there on Sunday mornings. because it's been my experience that Unitarians are among the most decent people going. I'd forgotten that there could even be a different kind of altar call, Dr. John. Thank you. Going back to a note from when I was talking about the school systems earlier and having bifurcated, trifurcated, quadrifurcated, or quadrocated school systems inside individual counties, just with a cultural reminder, Robert up over in Australia says, here in Oz, each state or territory government provides funding and regulates the public and private schools within its governing area. Funding comes from general taxation revenue. The federal government funds universities directly. The Australian curriculum is a national curriculum for schools in all states and territories of Australia from kindergarten to year 12. That's 13 years in total. It was developed over several years and officially began in 2013. Basically one school system, and everyone seems more than happy with that. The standards across the country are the same. My only knowledge of homeschooling relates to children living in extremely isolated areas, but even then their education is the same as everyone else's. Beyond that, I don't think it exists in Australia, homeschooling, except perhaps for the more far-out religious groups. And that's the way it should work. It should not be impossible to teach science in Alabama, but expected in Massachusetts and California. But that's what we have in this collapsing, broken, failing system. And it's a little bit of what Common Core hopes to address. And in addressing it, it addresses some of the issues of Plessyization, what I refer to as Plessyization, in this country. Why should a child born in Alabama have less, because, you know, all people, as the Declaration of Independence says, all people are created equal, and we know that the slave owners who had a hand in ratifying that document had a different version of people in mind. We understand that. That was one of those things that had to be changed and corrected, even though Dr. Batten's probably still right worked up about it. People are created equal. That's what the Declaration says. Doesn't say created by whom. I prefer to think by mommy and daddy. But the equality of existence should not be hindered by the accident of geography. A person should not be condemned to grim, meaningless, needless early death just because they happen to live in Mississippi Stan, where they could expect to live considerably longer in maybe a Colorado or a Vermont or a Washington State. And yet this is not nearly as important to the right-wingers and the neo-Confederates as some notion of states' rights. Oh, this is funny. Robert in Australia also pointed out, in the last episode of Family Guy, SEAL Team 6 break into Bin Laden's hideout and are prepared to shoot him. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, Bin Laden yells. Sound of gunfire. Cut to Bin Laden in heaven with angel wings. Robert says, I laughed. Well, that's how that'll apparently works. What else? Lots more. When you talk about titanic wisdom, titanic intellect, you kind of have to talk a little bit. You can't just blow right past Mike Huckabee, former Arkansas governor, father to a child who hung a dog from a tree and lynched a dog and beat it to death. You know, Christian family values. Well, he gave he gave an interview, God knows why, to the New Republic. And Nora Kaplan Bricker. And it's a fascinating article. He, before the interview, he insisted that Nora Kaplan Bricker send him a photograph of herself. He said he needed the photograph so he could pick her out of the crowd at the Starbucks where they were meeting in Midtown Manhattan. And he began, I guess Huckabee-splaining all about the politics. Yeah, this is beautiful in its own sort of sickening way. He declared to his interviewer, among other things, that he would rather eat glass than campaign for president. Evidenced by the fact, didn't he win the CPAC straw poll a couple of years back? But now he's been eclipsed by Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. And he's apparently a real charmer. And he wanted to offer some advice for any of the men people out there who are going to have to run a political campaign against one of those woe men. Here's the quote. I've twice run against women opponents, and it's a very different kind of approach. For those of us who have some chivalry left, there's a level of respect. You treat some things as a special treasure. You treat other things as common. He added that a male opponent is common while a woman requires a sense of pedestal. I'll put it this way. I treat my wife very differently than I treat my chums and my pals. I wouldn't worry about calling them on Valentine's Day, opening the door for them, or making sure they were okay. But the part that just leaped off the page at me, because this is one of those Titanic moments. Mike Huckabee said, and this is a quote, "For those of us who have some chivalry left, there's a level of respect. You treat some things as a special treasure. You treat other things as common." So in other words, Mike Huckabee has always seen his political opponents as things, not human beings. Things. But female political opponents are special treasure things. Yeah. Now, bear in mind, of course, those special things about whom he feels chivalrous, well, they still have their limitations, because those special things can't, and these are his words, not mine, these are his words from earlier in the year, those special treasured things, i.e. women, can't control their libido. Because, you know, Mike Huckabee knows that in order to give a female candidate, probably one of those progressive liberal types, the thumping she so specially treasuredly deserves, you have to, he said, I still will invite a lady to go first. We'll open a door for her and we'll place her in the center of the photograph. And yes, I would seek to treat a female opponent with the same respect I give to all women, even though we may disagree on the issues, and even though she can't control her libido, and even though she should not have the right to make decisions about the workings of her own body, and even though Mike Huckabee would far rather make those decisions for her. Right, happy. I don't know. I'll kind of miss him on the campaign trail, won't you? Yeah. So, yes, Irish Dave, you know, you do your thing and I'll do my thing because DFH. Yes, that's Huckabee Splainin'. That's exactly what that is, Irish Dave. About a quarter before the hour, hour and 15 minutes left in the program, or thereabouts. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Wow.
I wasn't expecting. Hi, hey.
Hi, Tracy.
Well, you know, I've been an emailing fool for the past day or so.
I noticed, and I thank you.
And I actually just got an email from our friend Brad Friedman. And so he's all excited about the possibilities of you coming out and coming on to the station KPFK and whatnot and so forth. And so...
He's excited. I'm excited.
So the only thing I need to know is what kind of time frame are you talking? Are you talking coming out here for the summer, for the spring, for the fall?
That's entirely up to the scheduling, you know, and the needs of the people I'd be talking to.
Well, basically...
I mean, do y'all? I mean, we're talking about Southern California. Do y'all have summers and springs, or is it just one long? Never mind. I'm being geographically ignorant. I'm sorry.
Don't be ugly. Don't be ugly.
I wasn't being ugly. I was being ignorant. There's a difference.
Oh, okay.
And don't make me sad like that associate that associate pastor in Kentucky either.
Oh God, what happened? See.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean he's sad because people said mean things about him when he did a skit for Jesus in blackface.
Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What?
I'm really hoping you're pulled over on the side of the road, Tracy. I didn't mean to be.
I am. I was sitting here doing paperwork, and I was just, you know, I just called just to hear the show, and he just said, somebody did a skit for Jesus in blackface.
Yeah, it was a youth outreach associate pastor.
Oh.
And he did a boxing skit in which he was in blackface as Mr. T.
Was it for Hitler youth? I mean.
No. These are for good God fearing, Bible believing, upstanding little Christian Kentuckians.
Bob, how do you how? Because see,
tequila, that's how.
You know, I don't get this. I was just...
Well, I mean, the pastor explained it, Tracy. He didn't even know what blackface was, and the associate pastors are feeling, his feelings are very hurt because people didn't think he should be doing blackface.
And his feelings are hurt.
Yes. He's really sad.
Was there an apology? With that said,
well, if anybody was offended, it was one of those, we apologize if anybody was offended apologies. It was a non-apology apology.
It was a non-apology. So was the blackface didn't come with a sad face?
Oh, no, he was being Mr. T, and Mr. T is never sad.
Why Mr. T?
Well, because that's, as Dr. John pointed out, nothing quite speaks to America's youth in 2014 like a rousing Mr. T impression.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, again, like Dr. John said, who knows, the youth of 2014, do they even know who Mr. T is?
Uh-uh.
Is Mr. T even relevant?
No, I think Mr. T is sitting there next to the Arizona XT, next to the Trade Line Winds, next to the Pure Leaf, you know, Mr. T.
You know, because my thing is, if you're going to do blackface and try to reach out to the youth, you're going to at least do LeBron James or something.
Well, that's the problem. The last dark-skinned human being that these Baptists saw on television was it was Mr. T.
Oh, that's right, because they... Oh, speaking of... only these are the things that only happened to me. So they've changed the way you do your season pass at Disneyland, and so you have to now stand in line and all this. So as we're standing in line, baking, waiting to get our season passes, that I don't even want to tell you how much they cost, but that's another discussion. This little boy is in his stroller, right? And he looks, first of all, he asked me if he could get in front of me, and I'm like, no. And so then he says, why is your skin so dark? Or wait, why is your skin so brown?
Uh-huh.
Right, or whatever. And fortunately, Jan wasn't with me. She was. We had split up to go see if we could get into a faster line. And I looked at him, and I looked at his parents or his grandparents, rather, and I said, not many black people where you guys are from, or are there? And she's like, I said,
if you're about to tell me they said they were from West Virginia, I'm going to run screaming out into the not quite night.
No. No, they were from Utah.
Well, okay, same.
Yeah, same thing. And I said, well, maybe you need to get to know and meet some more black people. So your grandbaby's now asking, you know, brown skinned folks, why am I so brown? And then I said, well, I'm fortunate because I have melanin.
No, you didn't tell it. No, wait. You already knew they were from Utah, and you didn't explain to them that it was because of the sin of Ham, the son of Noah?
Oh, damn! Oh! God! Oh, see, I miss...
You gotta always be awake and alert, Tracy, for those missionary moments.
Oh, I am so... No, but I did get the missionary moment in about the melanin.
Okay.
I said, I am fortunate in the fact that, unlike you, I can go out in the sun and not worry about turning all sorts of shades of purple.
And blistering up, and, yeah.
And blistered up. I said, see, I'm lucky like that. Unfortunately, you aren't. I was talking to the child, but I was really talking to the parent. Because I'm thinking, I'm like, why don't you know any black people? Because I know there's two, maybe three black people in Utah, aren't there?
I think there's like six.
Okay. Are they all on the Brigham Young basketball team or football team?
Now, see, you're running out there stereotyping. And I mean, because some of them are on the track team, too.
Okay. Does Utah still have a basketball team?
Yeah. And so does Brigham Young.
Yeah.
And Utah State.
The Utah Jazz. Are they still there? Because I don't care.
Yeah, I think so.
So there you go. So those are the black people in Utah.
So they're not sports fans. I mean, they're out there on the compound with the sister wives, and you know, maybe the cable doesn't work.
Oh God, I just when I hear these things, and I'm like, like I said, fortunately Jan wasn't standing next to me because she, when I get into these situations, she just like, please God, please God, please God, please God. It's like, okay, so enough of that, you know, because, you know, since I am actually, so seriously though, the church calendar is pretty open, and
cool.
I just need to know how much time do you need to, you know, to get money together, and do we have to do a fundraiser to get Bob Kincaid to California?
Yeah, I mean, I can't cover the airfare.
Okay. So are you hearing us this? Because basically, my church is at your disposal.
Beautiful. Well, I think we need to do a little off-air strategic planning,
mm-hmm.
and just talk, because you know, one of the things we talked about is trying to maximize the time out there. Maybe
mm-hmm.
talk with Tim about talking to maybe some of the Unitarian Universalist congregations, that kind of thing.
Well, that's just beautiful, because that's what I was saying, because my church holds 350 people.
Yep.
Plus, we could do a webcast at the same live webcast.
That'd be awesome.
So we have the technology. So it's just a matter of getting – there's only two dates that we can't do. And that would be June 21st, because that's my wedding day.
Right.
And December 21st, because that's my other wedding day. But other than that, you know, I would really like to do this before the before election time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, when is the California primary?
I don't know. I just know the California State Democratic Convention was here.
Yeah, we had, in fact, during Friday on the Front Porch last, we had Roger, who called in because he had been talking about the AIC Act and asking the Sierra Club representative at the table there why the Sierra Club wasn't wholeheartedly behind the AIC Act.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Well, they just said what, you know, people, well, what's that?
No, they did not.
Yeah, they did. And of course, the answer is it's the only bill in Congress that would end the horrors of mountaintop removal and give the so-called environmental movement the victory that it desperately needs, because we don't have any.
Exactly.
Best chance we got.
I don't get it. The Sierra freaking Club, for goodness sakes.
I know.
It's like, you know, and then I saw the other day you tweeted about the Sierra Club endorsing a coal-loving...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that comes via our good friend Jeff Biggers. The Sierra Club endorsed a clean coal pro-fracking Democrat running for treasurer of Illinois.
There's no such thing as clean coal.
I'm so proud every time you say that. A bunch of, you know, grassroots people, real people whose real lives will be really affected by the very real fracking taking place around them that will really poison their water and really ruin their lives, had pushed and worked hard for a straight-up moratorium on fracking in the state of Illinois. And the Sierra Club came along and said, no, we're the Sierra Club, dadgummit. And we know what's good for you people. And so they collaborated on a bill that allows fracking in Illinois.
Well, we're fighting fracking out here, too.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, see, here's like I
said. No, I mean, I'm not trying to be an ass there. No, really. Good luck.
Honey, look, I know you're not trying to be an ass, because I could tell when you're trying to be an ass. I do know that. I know enough about you to know when you're trying to be an ass, and this situation is beyond important. And when I got to, it was so funny because when I emailed Brad, I got, you know, you got the auto response, thanks for the email and blah blah blah. So I sent him a tweet, and I'm like, yo, you know what's with the, well, you saw the tweet.
Yeah, I did.
And so he emailed me right back once he, you know, so I'm working on my end. So at this, like you said, we're going to do some brainstorming off air, but does Southwest fly to you?
No.
Who are your airlines that you can get to?
Delta.
Delta. Oh, Jesus. Why don't we, how about this? Because September, October, because that's, I do not know when our California primaries are. I do not know.
Yeah, I mean, there are things transpiring that make it worthwhile to do it sooner rather than later.
Exactly.
I mean, if we want to get people active, see, this Congress is going to come to a close. This miserable 113th Congress will come to a close at the end of December. So we need to maximize, if we're going to try to get people to actively work on advancing this, especially on the Senate side with, say, Feinstein and Boxer.
Right.
Sooner rather than later is better.
Okay, so when you say sooner, are we talking May?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I will do is I will email my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Not my pastor, one of the ministers, Reverend Pat, and tell her, I will call her, actually, and ask her what our May calendar is looking like.
Yeah, and maybe set it. And you guys have Wi-Fi in the sanctuary?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what I kind of envision would be sort of a cyber activism evening.
Ooh.
Where everybody brings their mobile device or their laptop or whatever. Maybe if the church has a few laptops, set them up along the side or out in the vestibule by the 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints or whatever. Nobody ever eats them, and we both know it. I'm sorry. I'm speaking from the Baptist tradition. They sit there next to the 30-year-old plastic flowers, but never mind.
We give fresh flowers. This is remember.
Right. Baptists are cheap. That's why the buttermints don't get replaced.
We can't do plastic flowers. We have way too many florists at our church to do plastic flowers.
Yeah. So anyway, we'd set, and what we'd do is we'd do some activism. And make sure that before those 350 people left, that they had written to Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein and said, we want this bill introduced in the Senate yesterday.
And then all of our congressmen people in the various, yeah.
And maybe because we've got a whole bunch of California folks on the bill, maybe we'd wind up writing some thank you notes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you notes are always good. And then for the ones who aren't on yet, we could write some notes to them too.
Exactly.
For instance, Judy Chu, who is from down that away, I mean, mm-hmm. she is a big time supporter of the AIC Act.
Okay. What about my congressman Brad Sherman? What is he doing? I just got an email from his ass yesterday.
Let's see. Hang on one second. I'm just going straight to the page. Let me see if I can find him here. Sorry for the dead air.
It's okay. Well, yeah, I apologize. I'm just...
No worries, no worries.
No. Oh, goody. Okay. It's time for me to write a letter to my congressman.
Let's see. California, Judy Chu, Jared Huffman, Barbara Lee.
Well, Barbara Lee's the badass.
Yeah. Lucille Roybal-Allard. Zoe Lofgren, Jerry McNerney, Adam Schiff.
Adam Schiff is actually he's the congressperson for my church.
Lois Capps. Alan Lowenthal. Let's see here. I'm just going through the list. Karen Bass.
Another badass.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've probably got more Californians on the bill than any other state. So if there was some way to get them to bring the rest of the California Democratic delegation on and then get the California House delegation to turn around and look at Feinstein and Boxer and say, what are you waiting for? Bang.
Okay. I feel great things coming around.
I do too,
Bob.
I do too. I think when people get to confront the reality, see it, taste it. You know, I don't know how the airlines are about bringing a jug of toxic coal waste across the country.
They don't have a problem with that.
We have done it in the past. It can be a little bit dodgy. Mostly you lie and say, no, that's just really dark moonshine. And they go, oh, okay. But I wouldn't want to get my sorry self arrested for bringing toxic waste into the state of California either. Because, see, nobody in California would want what we have here. And the proof would lie in the fact that I would probably get arrested were I to bring toxic coal waste to California.
Exactly.
California primary is June 3rd, 2014. Thank you, Marty.
Okay. Thank you, Marty. Okay, so I'm looking. We're looking at May then.
Yeah.
We're looking at May. So what we need to do is start figuring out. I'm going to call my Reverend Pat. And find out what our May calendar is looking like. I'm looking to do this on a Saturday during the day because that'll make it easier for people to get get to the church, because Friday's traffic here is an ugly, ugly thing.
Yes.
And we can go from there. So.
And I mean, no, there's all kinds of possibilities here. It can be ecumenical. It can be interfaith. Yeah.
Where are we headed, sweetie? Okay. So, yeah, I'm thinking, Bob, that this can be huge. What I was also thinking along the lines, because we're having some issues out here, I believe it's in Paramount, that there's a battery factory, and we're getting cancer clusters. And, of course, the main issues out here...
Well, that's because we act in haste and repent in leisure, which is another way of saying, Tracy, that we do not engage the precautionary principle. And among other things, the AIC Act is the first bill that actively makes the precautionary principle a part of American law. Because it says that the health and well-being of human beings is more important than the ability of some sorry-ass coal executive to make a buck, and more important than shareholders' rights to profit on the death and disease of hillbillies. And if that's going to be too strong a talk.
Oh no no no! When you get a chance, I want you to, because we like I said, since we broadcast live, we have all of our sermons, all of our pastor's sermons online. You can just go to our website, mccla.org, and click on and you would watch us, and it has all of our discernment.
Yeah.
And no, that is not too strong of language at all.
I mean, I promise not to cuss or nothing.
No, we've cussed. We haven't dropped the F-bomb, but there's, I mean...
I don't either. I really don't.
But no, here, this is the kind of church that I go to. My pastor was talking about when he first started, and he was preaching, and, you know, he has the wireless microphone. So there was feedback, and he's like, well, I hope it's not my nipple ring.
I don't think it was the nipple ring, but still, that must have been fun.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it.
So
my kind of congregation.
Yeah, when you're worried, and then we talked about, so trust me. And like I said, just listen to the last, you know, just listen to some of his sermons.
Okay, I will.
And so you can see, to hear how he, what kind of preacher he is, and the tone, because he is very much about justice. And, you know, and
hopefully we will not require a translator. As a professional broadcaster, I can speak not hillbilly when necessary.
No, I think we need a little twang of hillbilly just to, you know, get us going. But I really feel that this is something that could be amazing, and we need this done. So with that. So, like I said, I'm going to start working on this on my end. I will start looking in May. I will call Reverend Pat and check our calendar. And I will also email Brad, because he asked me, you know, because I'll forward you what he wrote me about, you know, getting you off actually on the radio on a Wednesday, because, you know, his show is on Wednesday.
Right, right.
And get you on the air. You're at KPFK, and also you...
Oh, I think that would be so much fun.
And get you not only on the air on KPFK, but actually use KPFK as a possible sponsor and a way of advertising the event.
Oh, see, I'm liking this more and more.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I don't know how my brain is working and how I haven't had it, how it has not exploded yet, but all the stuff that I'm taking on, but I'm also good at delegating, but I get the ball rolling.
Delegate, yeah.
I hand it off to people who can, you know, have the connections and stuff like that. I do have some connections, obviously. I know you and I know Brad. And I have the ear of one of my ministers at the church. And also pretty much have the ear of my pastor also. And also, oh, and you know what? We're having an Earth Day celebration. like I said, that's in April. That's next month.
Right, right, right.
So this is the kind of stuff that we do, like I said in the email. Isn't Earth Day, shouldn't Earth Day be every day?
Yeah, it should be. It should. I mean, what? Yeah, when is Earth Day?
You know.
Every day. So, see how it works.
Every day. See, exactly. So, like I said, this is something that's very, very, very important to me because if it hadn't been for you, I would know nothing about it. And what Fern got me to think about you coming out here is when I mentioned it to my Pat, to Reverend Pat, and I said something. She's like, isn't it over yet? I said, no. It's not.
No, and see, there's. I mentioned it a couple of nights ago, maybe it was Friday, when Alpha Natural Resources recently agreed to pay $27.5 million in fines for over 7,000 violations of the Clean Water Act. And one of the things that's dangerous about that is there's a lot of people going, yeah, stick it to them, mm-hmm, get them. Well, that's they make that much money in about 2.5 seconds or something. Okay, that's not even going to hurt. But the danger is that people think, well, you know, mountaintop removal's on the way out. And I remember, about two years ago, about now, when the Sierra Club published a post saying, a blog post saying, mountaintop removal is on the way out. Permits have slowed to a trickle. And everybody thought, well, okay, that's over. And the next thing you know, everybody's like, well, it didn't that end? No.
I mean, I have...
Not unless I'm hallucinating those blasts that shake the walls.
I'm having this whole thing in my head of a series of talks, you know, for, like, with you for the ACE Act and environmental justice and then... what's going on in Florida and other states for, you know, moving on to that, to stand your ground, because I was actually supposed to go into a leadership conference that I really wanted to go to, but it's in Florida. I can't do it. I cannot, in all good conscience, go to Florida, ever.
No, not right now.
Yeah. Not until my son can walk down the street in Florida and not to worry about being shot down just because they thought he was dangerous.
Yeah. WWB, Walking While Black.
Walking While Black.
Actually, that's LWB, Living While Black.
Or Listening to Music While Black.
Right.
You know, so, and I want to work on that too, because with that email that you sent me about how things didn't change in the South and for other people started saying this is not right. And so when people start saying we're not going to have our conventions here anymore, we're not going to, if we want to go on a cruise, we'll go somewhere else and leave from the cruise from there, from another state. Until that starts to happen, this is nothing's going to be done because it's about the money,
yeah.
Unfortunately. You know, and when the money dries up, that's when things start to happen. It's only when the threat of, not because of the people.
Yeah, and we in this Congress, we need to see the introduction of the ACE Act in the Senate. It's got to happen. And it just so happens that Barbara Boxer sits on the committee that can make it happen.
Thank you, sweetie. And this is what pisses me off about Boxer, because it's like, you know, it makes me wonder how much of her money comes from coal.
I'd like to hope none. The real problem in the Senate is Joe Manchin, because apparently he's cast some spell over the Democrats where they think that he's some sort of centrist. I hope maybe some of that disappeared when he voted against the confirmation of President Obama's nominee to head the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice.
Right.
Debo Abigdale.
See, this is,
and he voted for him because he was a dangerous man who had once represented Mumia.
What?
What? What?
What?
Okay, I'll see you're up and I'll see you're what and I'll raise you a what. Yeah, Joe Manchin joined six other Democrats in rejecting the nomination of President Obama's choice to head the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice because the man had once upon a time signed off on an appellate brief, which, by the way, he won, in representing Mumia.
These people make my head hurt, Bob.
Well, there's your centrist. There's your centrist, Joe Manchin.
That's a centrist.
Yeah, Joe also said the other day that he fully supports the legislature of West Virginia in passing a 20-week abortion ban. There's your centrist. And he sure would like to see Governor Earl Ray sign it into law. You know, so that West Virginia can spend a few million dollars futilely defending an unconstitutional piece of legislation. Because he's a centrist.
You know, but, you know, stay out of, okay, I'm a grown-ass woman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know, my womb, I can tell you, you know, you don't need to be up in my uterus. Stay out of there. I got a brain, okay? I can make these decisions on my own. I don't need the man who will never, ever, see, like you said, I think, I mean, we've heard that joke for years, that if men actually have to give birth,
abortion would be a sacrament.
I want one man to have to give birth to his penis. I just...
Where do you...
Go through, where do you think
teabaggers come from?
Go through 24 hours of labor, hard labor, and then they decide that they have to do a C-section.
Mm-hmm.
See... You know,
No. For me, it all boils down, and the same thing that was said by the legislator in Alabama can be said here in West Virginia. If any one of those white legislators who voted for the 20-week ban, if any one of their precious lumpkin daughters said, "Daddy, I'm pregnant," and here's Jermaine, the daddy.
Yes. Yeah. Jermaine, or...
Right, you get the idea. Sweetie, we're going to go to the doctor, because obviously you're sick. We're going to go to the doctor and take care of this little problem.
In the state that you can do that.
Yeah, ain't going to be... There's not going to be any off-coffee-colored mansions out there.
Nobody.
Huh?
No.
Oh.
No. You know, and then conversely, if it was one of their sons that got, you know, somebody a little of a darker hue pregnant, well, you know, that just happened.
Well, that's why you write the check.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, no sense in being mean about it, but right. I mean, if Gert, you know, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, you know, if Gert's boy, who is about Ferg's age, if Gert's boy goes out and as it says in Genesis 19, verse 30, I think it's verse 30, lieth with a woman after the manner of all the earth, and the woman he lieth with happens to be darker than a brown paper bag, and she gets pregnant, check gonna get wrote. Because there will not be any little off-coffee Tomblins.
Nope. Not at all. And so there you go. I mean, again, the hypocrisy. I mean, you know, it's so, because, you know, I love those back-in-the-day melodramas, you know. Peyton Place and all. And
Summer Place and...
In Summer Place and whatchamacallit, and, you know, they would go off to, you know, Switzerland. Or, my personal favorite is when the mother and the daughter would go away.
And the mama would come home with the new baby.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you're raising your grandbaby as your child. and the baby's mama is this baby is your sister. Oh, oh God, the things that people do, and I don't know. I just, like I said, I try very hard not to get myself all worked up in a lather, you know. But when I hear certain things,
sometimes you just don't have any luck, not.
You know, and just you know when I turn on the news and they're still talking about, you know, Krispy Kreme. I mean, Chris.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy. But nothing about what's happening in West Virginia.
Nope.
It just. You know,
speaking of what's happening in West Virginia, you're going to love this. So they have this program in West Virginia called Poetry Out Loud. Devin sent this story along to me. It's called Poetry Out Loud, and it's all about encouraging literacy and poetry.
Okay.
And a young woman, a student by the name of Grace Pritt, who is a 2013 Poetry Out Loud finalist, she was asked to read at an upcoming awards ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to read a poem about the 29 men who got reduced to cinders on April 5th in the Upper Big Branch disaster. And they were so badly disfigured that the rescuers went right by them without even knowing they were human beings anymore. And she wanted to read a poem about it since they invited her to.
And how did that go?
Well, Tabitha Walter is the grant coordinator for the State Division of Culture and History. And she wrote to Grace Pritt and said, "I really hate to do this to you, because your poem deals with coal and many state representatives will be there, our director wants you to choose a different poem. I'm so sorry about this. I'm just now finding this out." The poem was called Black Diamonds by Crystal Good. She's a poet from Charleston. And it's written from the perspective of the widows of the 2010 Upper Big Branch mine disaster.
But because we have...
Well, it says something that's not nice about coal. Yeah, why don't you read, like, "I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree." Or maybe you could do the one about, "I've never seen a purple cow. I hope I never see one. But I can tell you here and now I'd rather see than be one." That's a good poem.
Father, help me.
Now, here's what the poem actually says. Black diamonds form on days like April 5th, 2010. That day started just like all the other days, the hundreds of days, like for hundreds of years that the earth fell in on miners, trapping them underground with nothing but their prayers. This time on April 5th, 29 men died in what they call a mine disaster, others industrial homicide.
You know, they don't.
Well, there will be coal people here at this ceremony. We don't want to make them feel bad.
What about the widow? What about the kids who don't have dads anymore? Let's hope and pray that none of those kids weren't.
And then when it got out.
Parents.
Then when it got out, when people found out what the state government had done, and remember the... State Division of Culture and History is under the aegis of the executive branch, which is, of course, run by GERT, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, who, upon finding out that 300,000 people had their water poisoned, ran out and said, "I just want everybody to know this ain't about coal. Quit saying it's about coal." Now, once it got out and it looked like we were going to be having another little problem, The director of the Arts for Culture and History, a woman by the name of Renee Margosi, said,
It was just simply a miscommunication, which sometimes occurs. Tabitha Walter is new to the position, and I think that this has just kind of gotten blown out of proportion. the commissioner of the Division of Culture and History just called me and said there's no room for censorship of the arts, and we all regret the spin this has taken, but we will not be censoring Miss Pritt.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that in the original note, Tabitha Walter says, I really hate to do this to you, but because your poem deals with coal and many state representatives will be there, our director wants you to choose a different poem. Well, the director is Renee Margosi, who said, this has just gotten blown out of proportion. So, in other words, she was shown up to be the miserable Fokker. Remember, Fokker means friend of coal. That she probably is.
These people are...
nuts.
Dangerously. I mean, it's one thing to talk about people being crazy, okay, or nuts, or what have you. But when the crazy people are running the asylum, when they are the ones in...
No. Wait. I'm not correcting or bobsplaining or anything. It's not that they're running the asylum, Tracy. The crazy people are... I mean, this is West Virginia, after all, where more than 100,000 people have died over 100 years in the service of the coal industry. The crazy people aren't running the asylum. They're running the abattoir. Because, you know, maybe 100,000 people have died in West Virginia in the last 100 years, but look at all the money we've made.
Did any of these 100,000 people benefit from any of that money?
Well, back in 1907, when the Monongah mine blew up, about 70 widows and orphans, a number of widows and orphans were finally given $70 apiece by the coal company after nearly 500 people died, most of them immigrants. And a coal company executive said, well, that ought to make a pretty nice Christmas for them. Because it happened
$70?
In early December.
$70?
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money in 1907.
$70?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, who are we to complain for $70? Hell, you know.
I mean, you're brand new in the United States. Your husband just got burned up, burned alive, probably couldn't be identified when they dragged him out of the hole. And there you are, a widow who barely speaks English, and you got little children, and the coal company says, accept our laurel and hearty handshake and this check for a happy Christmas of $70. Maybe it'll buy you a ticket back to Italy.
It never ends. I mean, between just the out-and-out greed, I don't know. You got the greed, you got the racism. Oh, did you hear the latest about the people going crazy because the little girl that's going to be Annie is going to be black?
Oh, yeah. The right-wingers had a straight-up hissy.
These are the things that you got to go. So you're worried about a movie that you probably can't even afford to go see because it costs so much to go to the movies now because you don't have a job and they cut your food stamp and all these other things.
And Stuart Varney says, you know, if you criticize food stamps or you try to cut food stamps, they call you a monster and they say you don't want people to eat food. And well, you can't win. Yeah, we had him earlier on Titanic Tuesday.
See, because, you know, anybody know what's going on in Florida for the special election?
Haven't touched that one.
I'm afraid. Because, like you said, there's only so much that we can do. But if we do things as a collective, things can be done. It's when we sit back and let it happen and do nothing. Because I know Martin Luther King said something along the lines when good people sit back and let stuff happen, it's worse than the hateful people doing what they do. Because we see what's going on, but we do nothing about it. I mean, at least nowadays, I mean, how hard is it to eat at this, back in the day, you gotta wonder, when they did the March on Washington, there were no cell phones, there was no Wi-Fi, there was no internet or anything like that. But somehow, they managed to get how many people there to march on Washington? And we can't even get people to just go on their iPhone and send out a quick email to our government representative. You don't even have to go to the post office anymore.
Yeah.
You don't even have to put a stamp on a letter. You just go to your phone. You don't even have to go home. Like I said, you pick up your iPhone and say to Brad Sherman, Bobber Boxer, to whoever your state or, local and all these other representatives are. And I love that idea that you were talking about.
Okay, and we just got an update from Sparky. Republican David Jolly defeated Democrat Alex Sink and Libertarian Lucas Overby to capture the fiercely contested special election today for the U.S. District 13 congressional race in Pinellas County, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it sucks.
But see, when you have people, or subhuman people like the Koch brothers, who are, putting all this money into the election, there's only so much you can do.
Right. No. And every election is like that. It is going to be hell among the yearlings come November.
Oh, November is going to be. It is going to be.
Look, we have. I mean, I'm sure I'll get an email saying, Bob, we don't need to be putting those negative vibes out there. It is possible this November that the House is going to get more teabaggy and that the Senate will flip to Republican. And then January 2015, Tracy, is going to be a party because they will draft the bill of impeachment. They will hold hearings on it. They will impeach Barack Hussein Obama, probably with a count in the bill of impeachment that impeaches him for being named Hussein. And then it'll go to the Senate. And this won't be like the Senate hearing of Bill Clinton, where there was a Democratic majority to stop them in their tracks. No. Don't.
Not even.
Yeah.
And I understand. And Horn family, and I understand how you're saying don't put out the negative vibes, and we shouldn't think along those lines.
Yeah, but it's not negative vibes when you're talking realism.
When you're talking truth.
This is a country that is in crisis. This is a country that is breaking into a million tiny pieces.
And we have a Congress that is hell-bent. I mean, when these people ran in 2010, they ran on the platform to make sure nothing got done. And they called themselves patriots. Because we love us some America. Just as long as that Negro ain't running it. So we're going to make sure that even though he's in office, we're going to make sure that absolutely positive nothing gets done. So when we look back on history, see, he wasn't worth it. A president not so sure.
Well, see, earlier this evening, we were talking about that in a sort of oblique fashion. Well, you know.
That guy.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just frustrating.
It is frustrating that people are, that we are, racism is so entrenched in this country that they would rather this country, burn to a cinder than to do anything to support this president and to make this country the place that
if you go and you find that Funny or Die, Funny or Die, right?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, funnyordie.com. There's between two ferns, the Zach Galifianakis thing. He actually had it's a comedy bit with Barack Obama. And Zach Galifianakis looks at him and says, "What does it feel like to be the last black president?"
Well, it's true. I don't think there will be another black president in our lifetime.
I don't think it's impossible. I think the more virulent portions of the right wing have used this presidency as a means by which, Tracy, they have brought racism back into the open and made it socially acceptable again. And, of course, they've done it by saying, well, just because I don't like the black man in the White House doesn't mean I'm a racist.
Mm-hmm.
See?
And see, that's how they do it. And like you said, they made us, with the laws like Stand Your Ground. Well, he looked threat. That's why these people can get away with these laws. Well, he's black and he looked threatening. He looked threatening? Did he actually threaten you? No, but he's black. So therefore.
Right, and that's a whole inquiry into bias. I guess I'm going to save it for another day because of the hour, and I want to try to get to another phone call in a minute. But I've got a story here, and I need to let it stew for a little bit. New research suggests prehistoric European men and women preferred blondes, and this is a story out of PHYS.org, and it's a study that's been conducted by archaeologists at Gutenberg University in Mainz and geneticists at the University College of London, working in conjunction with other archaeologists in Berlin and Kiev, analyzing ancient DNA, and their takeaway on it, which I'm inclined to just not really feel particularly good about, is that somehow or another, the people who became the forefathers of modern Europeans had a preference for people with light skin, blue eyes, and blonde hair. Which I just find that crazy.
They didn't have like. You know how I get, and I can't talk. Because then, what? Again, this is the kind of stuff that makes me scream. I go running into the night and screaming, and my girl looks at me like, baby, what's wrong?
Yeah, see, it's a recent, the article I'm looking at, recent DNA analysis of ancient skeletons suggests that human factors, including diet and sexual attraction, may have caused the lightening of European skin over the past 5,000 years in addition to environmental factors. And I read it the first time and I thought, I don't know about this. It's not a matter of I don't like the outcome, therefore I deny the science. I'm not one of those. But it was a couple of weeks ago that we had the story that pointed out that the first modern Europeans were dark skinned, dark haired, and dark eyed.
Yes. They came from Africa.
And it wasn't that long ago.
But then if that science came out, then you have to have something to refute that, because then you have all these people running around screaming, well, then that can't be right, because that means that we might have...
And they're basing it on the fact that as people moved further north, they needed to absorb more UV light in the lower light conditions of northern Europe in order to produce more vitamin D in order to have strong teeth and bones. I don't know. I don't know. I think maybe I'll ship this along to Dr. John and get his take on it.
Yeah, I would love to come to hear what his take is on that, because again, like you said, just because I don't like it, I don't want to believe it, and therefore it's not right. But at this, because even me, who, you know, I took like maybe one archaeology class in my entire college.
Good for you for having had one.
and then remembering about the stuff that I learned in grade school about evolution. Thank God I live in California. About how, you know, man started civilization.
Right, and this is, you know, this is one of the problems we have with science writing, Tracy. Way down into the article, there is a quote from researcher Sandra Wild of Johannes Gutenberg University in Mainz, and she said, "It may be that lighter hair and eye color functioned as a signal indicating group affiliation, which in turn played a role in the selection of partner." But it begins with "it may be," so
may
there's
be.
There's no way. It may be that the further north they went, the paler they got. Because there was less sun.
There was less sun, and I mean, you know.
I mean, there wasn't less sun. There was less exposure to the, yeah.
Less exposure to the sun. But I look, you know, because it's so funny when you start talking about science. And when, back before, I wore my hair in locks and I had a fro or whatever, when my hair got wet, it straightened out, okay? And so the science behind that is, they said that's why, because of the constantly damp conditions, and you know, with the rain and whatnot and so forth, that's how the hair eventually became straight permanently, because of the, you know, as you evolve or what have you. I mean, like, again, one archaeology class, you know, my science is pretty much based on Mr. Peabody and Herm Sherman, okay? Sorry. But the bottom line is, like you said, as people started moving further north with less exposure to the sun and whatnot and so forth, their skin is going to become lighter. I know in the summer, I know the less I spend in the sun, I get lighter. Yes, black people can, you know, and I know my Horn family knows this, but it's just, these people make my head hurt. So anyway, I know you got to move on, but I am going to get on the phone and or text Reverend Pat right now.
All right, wonderful. Well, I look forward, and like I said, we'll do a little more brain brainstorming off.
You do have my phone number, yes?
I don't know if I do or not. You need to send it to me, okay?
I will email it to you. That way you will have it.
Good deal.
Because
Good deal.
I'm always on the phone. As you well may know.
I kind of get that. Well, Tracy, I really appreciate it, and I look forward to pulling this together. And, you know, drive careful and be safe.
Always, always, my love.
All right, you take care.
You too, dear.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Tracy, the lady cab driver, calling from Southern California. And just a note, we remain stuck at $115 for the evening, fundraising-wise, which does not bode well for, you know, things as they are, you know, things like bill paying, which we have an abundance of. Any help is tremendously appreciated. Linda and Anthony and Sal and Jug of Punch would love to have some company in the evening's fundraising. Thank you all very much. Let's continue. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, California's the Garden of Eden, the paradise to live in or see, huh?
Here, here, as well.
But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got that do-re-mi, buddy. How you doing?
There you go. That's the absolute truth. Doing good,
yeah,
dude.
Well, Woody Guthrie appreciates it when I steal from him.
Yeah, and the thing is, his royalties are stored up in heaven.
Oh, yeah, well, he talk about a patriot, him and Cisco Houston getting dumped in the North Sea, sailing from England to Murmansk. They took their punishment a couple of times. That was a... Hell, I've known people who's... One woman whose father, who dumped a few times, and he had a problem dumping, with the rest of his life, dumping alcohol down his throat, you know? We all deal with things differently, Bob.
Absolutely.
Oh, Bill, he's nutty.
You pick your poison, as the saying goes.
Yeah. So you feel that Obama's the last black president of our... my lifetime, that could be, you know, that's for sure.
I don't like to deal in certainties, but
yeah, I'm with you.
Who can say who is out there?
Yeah.
That might show up in 2020 or 2024 or 2028 or 2032. But it's let's just say that the hardcore right wing is galvanized.
Oh, are they? Well, we thought we beat him.
I mean, look, as noted, and I've mentioned this time after time after time, there are right wingers out there crowdsourcing the assassination of Barack Obama on Facebook.
Well, yeah, you were telling me about that. That's outrageous. Me.
And the funny thing is, if the NSA was listening to everybody's phone calls and monitoring everybody's transmissions on the interweb tubes, you'd think that that might have set off a little blinking light somewhere.
Well, you know, some of those smart-mouth murderous bastards ought to have been facing the guys in the black coats.
Yeah, the ones with little skinny ties and no sense of humor.
Those guys. I mean, it would be nice. They should get the same visit that you and I would do if somebody said they saw me coming out of I was arrested for shoplifting a pack of cigarettes in a supermarket, you know? How come they can get away with threatening the life of another human being, and I don't care if he wasn't a person threatening the life of another human being openly and taking up a collection, that's criminal. Now, if you make him the president, it's even theoretically more criminal.
Yeah, I mean, you don't just have threatening the life of the president, you also have soliciting.
Yes, soliciting. Well, I know several women that got in trouble over that little charge in their lives.
Different kind of soliciting, Bill.
Yeah, but still, yeah, a pleasant kind. At least as far as the action. That action was for customers, for sure. Not so much for the people that was, you know, taking care of the clients.
Right.
But for the customer, it was, I'll tell you, my buddy that was in the Navy and the one whose father was in the German Navy, when they come back into San Diego, buddy, it was right across the border. And I was thinking about another...
Well, my father told me stories about the red light districts that were actually maintained by the United States Navy in Hawaii when they would come into port at Pearl.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the Navy actually told them, go here, don't go there.
Well, the potential was for those guys... The next trip out onto the water might be their last trip anywhere on Earth. And, in fact, I'm working over a book titled Retribution by Max Hastings, which is the last 2 years of the war in the Pacific. And that's how desperate I am because my old book machine quit, and they're going to send me into a four-channel tape machine, reel-to-reel tape, actually it's a cassette machine, if I'm not mistaken. And they changed to a new machine that runs a type of modern recording. And, I was searching in the back stacks for a book titled Andersonville by a fellow named McKinley Cantor, which I don't know if you ever heard of it or not.
I've never read it.
Well, you've heard about it. It's a study of one of the biggest of our brotherly Civil War prisons, and we can talk also about Johnson's Island and a few others that the North took care of. I mean, it wasn't, this is not an anti-South statement. It's, prisoners of war are prisoners of war, and nobody treats them real well, you know. Even guys who spoke the same language would. There was a great book, and I can't remember the title of it. It was a study of the Japanese regiment that fought in Italy. 4077, I think, was their number.
Was it really?
Yeah, I can't remember. Somebody, Jim could write in, somebody else can correct me, but it was a study of the Japanese soldiers who, you know, well, let's go on to these concentration camps and see how many of these guys will fight for this country. And they did an admirable job. Great. Well, and the guys, the funny part of it, Bob, to me, the human part, was they brought a lot of guys in from Hawaii, Japanese Americans from Hawaii.
Yeah.
And these two groups, the ones raised on the mainland and the guys raised in Hawaii, they struck it off early, and I mean struck. There was lots of arguments that led to fist fights. I mean, these are young men, you know. Do I have to say any more about a lot of young men? If there's a chance for two guys to assume the John L. Lewis pose, you know, they liked it.
It was, and by the way, it was the 442nd RCT.
Oh, 442nd, yeah. That's the group. But great book. And what was really funny is these guys, in typical young male fashion, the American-born and raised Japanese referred to the other guys as Buddha heads. You know, the guys from Hawaii. I mean, that's the way it is. Why is it with human beings?
Yeah, in fact, you said that, and a couple of minutes before that, Sparky had noted that very, very same fact. Jesus, God.
And man, did these guys, and actually there was a guy who, one man who served with Stillwell in the Burma campaign that Stillwell led, where they took a hold of an important place called Michna, which, man, if you look at it in print, you'd never figure out how it was pronounced, you know. Michinia was how it looked when you put the letters together. But anyway, so what are you going to do with the rest of his family members? Are they going to adopt us out or what?
Why?
You think you'd find anybody to take a resident dirty old man? I don't know. But I'm glad to hear it because it's just what you need financially, I hope. You know, I hope that it leads to the kind of, well, Bob, I mean, Fort Knox would lead you to the amount of money you're worth. There's one for you.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, you got that. You gave me the good Southern answer there, Bob.
Well, we just had something wonderful happen. Robert just stepped up and took care of the remainder of tonight's fundraising and a little bit of tomorrow's. So that is a big, 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 big deal because, as I said in my thank you note, that clean coal electricity has eaten us alive.
Well, man, you've been I've known too many people on the cusp of financial disaster. I was there myself at times, and my
yeah, and I don't have any fancy cusp links. You bring out the worst in me, Bill.
Well, I hope so. I try to, you know, there's levity in everything that happens. I get talking about the, who was the guy that was running the production in Nazi Germany? I couldn't remember his name, and it's killing me. Because he's a man that historians are credited with saving the damn country.
Oh, wait, you're not talking about Schindler.
No. Schindler was, he did a very decent thing, but this guy was in the production end of stuff. And Hitler wanted to see their basic country. He didn't care if it was destroyed by bombing. And this guy he was an industrial kind of a guy that, his name was big for a while. He got a big historic look. Damn, I can't remember his name. Anybody out there remember his name? Let us know.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, a little more detail from Tim from L.A., who would know. The 442nd was in Hawaii, and the 100th Battalion was on the mainland. And, yes, the Japanese-Americans in Hawaii fought valorously against the Japanese army on the mainland because the Hawaiians thought the fought violently. I'm sorry, I can't read. We're late in the program. The Japanese Americans in Hawaii fought violently against the Japanese Americans on the mainland because the Hawaiians thought the mainlanders were elitists because they spoke English better. The battle ended when an officer took the Hawaiians to a concentration camp at Jerome, Arkansas. The fights between the two were so bad that the U.S. thought that that all Japanese American military would have to be scrubbed.
Well, I mean, this is how human,
Albert Speer?
Speer, that's the guy,
Well, we have Irish Dave to thank for that.
Thank you, Irish. Yeah, that's, now, I don't know if you ever read any of the Spencer novels. You know, the TV show Spencer for Hire that was based on...
I haven't gotten around to those, but yeah.
Good writing, and lightweight stuff, but you know, you have to get away from hardcore history somehow or the other.
Well, that's why I'm off wandering in the fields of the Travis McGee series right now.
Well, the great American mystery writers like Hammond, Chandler, and on, they tie in a whole lot of the culture of the world they wrote about.
Yeah, and what I like I said, if you look up Reading for Survival, and I don't know if you could find, but it was produced for the Library of Congress Center for the Book. It's a little dialogue between the two main characters in John D. McDonald's Travis McGee series, and it's absolutely brilliant. I don't know if you check. I don't know. You might find the
talking book section of the.
It's just a little bitty piece, but it is absolutely brilliant.
Well, I'm gonna try to get into some Travis McGee because I'm getting so bad. I'm reading Spencer twice to get the. But in those books, see,
well, I love the John D. McDonald Travis McGee series because it starts. In fact, he was supposed to be named Dallas McGee, but the first book was coming out shortly after the Kennedy assassination, and they changed it to Travis.
Yep.
And you can see, it has an actual arc that runs through it of these observations about the environment, about South Florida, industrial poisons, the works. And, you know, these are little pulp novels that were never, most of these were never published in hardback until they became wildly famous and popular in paperback. They were all original issues in paperback. And so you can imagine people reading this stuff, you know, sitting on the train, in a plane, on a boat, you know, whatever. And getting this and starting, well, yeah, you know, he might be right. Where they might otherwise say, well, that's a bunch of communist leftist pinko crap.
Well, the guys are still writing. There's a guy writing. His character is Amos Walker, and it's set in Detroit. And he was this guy that writes it was a police beat reporter for one of the Detroit newspapers for years.
There's a Florida writer by the name of Tim Dorsey who is a lot of fun to read too.
Yeah.
And he started out as a newspaper reporter in Tampa. Hey, Bill, I got to get out of here. We are up against it. All right, you have a good evening.
Congratulations, because as the old saying goes, Bob, if nothing else, you need the money. The old punchline, you know.
All right. Indeed. Thanks, Bill. Take care. Bye. Bye now. Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress, calling from Cleveland. Yeah, it is time to get out of here. Thank you, one and all, for helping us make our goal this evening. That means, you know, one more day of broadcasting here, so it's the linchpin. Thank you, Anthony and Linda and Sal and Jug and Robert. Thank you very, very much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you to Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and as I was discussing with Tracy earlier, ACHEACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next on the Horn.